إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to continue with the discussion of inhiraf al-shabab, yani the deviation of the youth, and its causes, the asbab, the causes or reasons for this deviation, and the means of its remedy or cure. By Shaykh Sulaiman Al-Ruhayli, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. In the first two readings, Ali the Shaykh mentioned the importance of this topic, and he mentioned a number of different hadith related to, and specifically related to the time and the place in which this topic was presented, meaning in Medina, in the Masjid Quba, Laylatul Jumu'ah, and so on. And after this, the Shaykh talked about istiqamah. What is istiqamah? What is inhiraf? And he mentioned the different types of inhiraf. And he mentioned seven types specifically. Exaggeration, going too far in the matter beyond the bounds, falling short, and not fulfilling the obligatory, the things that are obligatory upon us in the deen, falling short in it, and negligence. And he also talked about deviation due to someone not fulfilling the obligatory duties or engaging in that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. And finally, he mentioned that some of the people deviate due to following their desires, the shahawat, or due to any misunderstandings, misconceptions, any doubtful matters, shubuhat. And he said, finally, any deviation is also due to bid'ah, innovation, and muhtathat, things that have been invented in the deen that have no basis in the Qur'an or in the sunnah. From what we read yesterday, the Shaykh talked about the importance of young people being raised upon the Qur'an and sunnah. He mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that there are seven people whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade in His shade on the day when there wouldn't be any shade except His shade. Sab'atun يذلهم الله في ذله يوم لا ذل إلا ذله. And the first one he mentioned is Imam Adil, يعني a just Imam, a leader that is just, and this benefits the whole society. And the second one he mentioned was Shab نشأت في عبادة الله, يعني a young person who has been raised, يعني been reared from the beginning, from the youth, in the worship of Allah. And this is really the point of the hadith, although all of each one of these matters is of great importance, but the Shaykh intended to mention here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give special care on Yawm al-Qiyamah to shading these seven people, and from amongst them is a person who is raised from youth upon the worship of Allah. And this shows the importance of the young people being reared properly from the beginning, from when they're very young, being instilled in their heart love for Islam and love for the Quran and love for the Sunnah. So he mentioned this hadith, and after this, he talked about the different types of responses that young people have if they fall into deviation, how they respond to it. And he mentioned four groups of people, and there's nothing wrong with us, and he's saying that this is also applicable not only to the young people, but to the old people, to all people, that anybody might find themselves slipping or sliding or falling into some kind of deviation. And what are the possible responses that we expect from people? He said the first group of them are those who when they recognize that they are beginning to slip or to fall into deviation, to get off the path, they realize the danger of it immediately, and they desist from it, and they repent, and they turn back to Allah, and they correct themselves, and they're saved from the harm. The second group of people, they recognize the deviation, they realize its harm and its danger, they feel its pain. However, they are hesitant, yani they delay in returning to Allah. They don't immediately turn back to Allah. And as a result of this, yani it is hoped that they will turn back and they will correct themselves. But, I mean, it's a dangerous situation. You know, there's still fear that they might not recover. The third group are those who engage in deviation and corruption and filth, yani without any care or concern. They are not worried about it. They are not concerned about it. You can see them in the Muslim society, in the Kafir society. Muslims, young Muslims, and even older Muslims who are engaging in corruption and filth and deviation with no care or concern whatsoever. And these people, it's expected that they're going to die in that condition because they don't have any care or concern. And the last group, he said, are those who deviate and they don't realize that they are deviants. They don't even recognize that they are upon deviation. Rather, they think that they are the people of Jannah and that they are the best of the Muslims. And these people are in the most danger because there's not any hope whatsoever that they will repent if they don't even realize that they have deviated. After this, the Shaykh began to mention the causes for deviation. And he said, amongst the causes for deviation, he mentioned two things together, and that is, yani abandonment of the Quran and being distanced, removed from the Sunnah. And the Shaykh mentioned five types of abandonment of the Quran from Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah. And he said that one type of abandonment of the Quran, yani which is obvious abandonment, is that a person doesn't even read the Quran, doesn't recite the Quran, doesn't listen to the Quran at all. A second type of abandonment is that perhaps a person does read the Quran, but they don't act upon it. They don't observe the limits of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made lawful and unlawful as it's found in the Quran. And a third type, the Shaykh mentions, is those people who don't rule or make judgments by the Quran. Meaning when they have a problem, they rule by something other than the Quran. And a fourth type, he said, is those who do not reflect upon the Quran, contemplate on the Quran carefully in order to understand what is intended by these ayat that they might be reading from the Quran. What is the intended meaning of it? What does Allah require of us by it? And the fifth type, he said, is that they do not use the Quran as a means of healing the ailments of the heart, the sicknesses of the heart, the spiritual sicknesses that the Quran is indeed a cure for. And the Shaykh, he said that all of these types of abandonment of the Quran on every single one of these levels come under the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the complaint of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that's mentioned in the Quran, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّي إِنَّ قَوْمِي اتَّخَذَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَحْجُورًا, that, O my Rabb, my people, they have taken this Quran as something to be abandoned. They have abandoned the Quran. And all of these types of abandonment fall under this. And so a person should be warned and should be careful to avoid every type of abandonment of the Quran. After this, the Shaykh mentioned the Sunnah, being distanced from the Sunnah. And he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَن يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِعْ غَيْرُ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, to the end of the ayat, that those who oppose the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam after it has been made, the way has been made clear to them, and follow the way other than the believers, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would yani leave them in the path that they have chosen for themselves and burn them in the hellfire, and what an evil destination. And he also mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَيَحْذِرِ الَّذِينَ يُخَالِفُونَ عَنْ أَمْرِهِ, yani beware those who oppose the command of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that a musibah, yani a fitna will overcome them, or they will be punished with a terrible punishment. And he mentioned the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other hadith, مَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي, whoever yani is not pleased with my sunnah, then he is not from me. And all of this is to make us to understand the importance of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not opposing him, not differing from him, and seeking, being desirous of following his sunnah. The treatment for this, the Shaykh says, and for this dangerous matter of abandonment of Quran and being distanced from the sunnah, is cultivating the young people, cultivating the Muslims, young Muslims, new Muslims, and everyone who is in need of it upon the Qur'an, making their hearts to be attached to the Qur'an. And the way to do this is that there are examples for them. Yani for the young people, there should be examples in their parents, that their parents show them that they have care and concern and love and show importance to the Qur'an, and that they are reading the Qur'an and they are reciting the Qur'an and they are living by the Qur'an, so that the children will grow up having instilled in their heart this love and respect for the Qur'an. And then he mentioned the saying, yani the statement of Shaykh Abdul Aziz Ibn Baz rahimahullah, of the importance of following the Qur'an, and that Imam Malik, as he said, that this ummah, the end of it, would not be yani rectified or corrected except by that which the first part of it was corrected by, and that is adherence to the Qur'an and to the sunnah. After this, the Shaykh mentions other causes or means of deviation, and the next matter that he mentions is understanding the text of the book and the sunnah with other than the understanding of the Salaf. Yani that this is one of the great causes of deviation. The first cause is that people abandon the Qur'an. They don't read the Qur'an, they don't study the Qur'an, they don't act upon the Qur'an, they don't reflect upon the Qur'an, they don't judge by the Qur'an. This is definitely a cause of deviation. And along with this, being distanced from the sunnah, not studying the sunnah, learning the sunnah, understanding the sunnah, living by the sunnah. And this is a clear yani cause or means of deviation. But along with this, there are people who read the Qur'an and who study the hadith, but they understand it with an understanding other than the understanding of the Salaf, other than the understanding of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'in. Rather, they understand it with some understanding from themselves or from other people who don't understand the Qur'an, or from Shaytan. So the Shaykh, he says, from the reasons of deviation, O brothers, is understanding the text of the book and sunnah with other than the understanding of the Salaf of this ummah, and to believe that it is permissible to depart from their understanding. Yani to believe that it's okay to understand it by your own mind, or to take somebody else's understanding other than the understanding of the Salaf. To believe that it is permissible to depart from their understanding and invent a new understanding for the text of Quran and Sunnah. And this is from the greatest reasons for deviation. What the people cry out for from the religious, those who are religious from amongst the people, and those who are other than the religious, is the concept of bringing about a new understanding of the text, and bringing about a new tafsir of the text, which is appropriate to the people in this time, far removed from the understanding of the predecessors, and contrary to their claim, and far removed from the understanding contained within the yani the ancient books or scriptures, or the books that came down to us from our early generations of Muslims, the Quran, as well as the books of Sunnah and the books of the scholars. Yani people are looking for a new understanding, a different way to understand the Quran and the Sunnah, other than the understanding of the Salaf, an understanding as they claim that is more appropriate and fitting and suitable for the people in this modern day and time. This is by Allah from the greatest reasons for deviation. And then the Shaykh goes on to show how every deviant group, the main cause of their deviation was, or one of the main causes of their deviation was, them understanding the Quran and Sunnah in a way other than it was understood by the Salaf. And here he mentions the example of the Qadariya, the people who deviated in the matter of believing in Al-Qadr, the divine pre-decree. The Qadariya did not deviate except by abandoning the understanding of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, except by abandoning the understanding of the companions and coming up with their own understanding. Deviation in aqidah and other than it did not occur except by, and likewise the Shaykh mentioned, and it is deleted here from the translation of the book, but in any case the Shaykh mentioned that the Khawarij also, they didn't go astray except because they abandoned the understanding of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So deviation in creed and in other than creed did not occur except by abandonment of the understanding, the fahm of the Salaf of this Ummah, how they understood the text of Quran and Sunnah. So therefore, he says, O brothers, departure from the understanding of the Salaf is a reason for deviation and blameworthy differing, which weakens the hearts and corrupts the jama'ah, the unity of the people, and it breaks apart the body of the Ummah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, the Sahih, and the hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah, in which it contains the words, وَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِيشْ مِنْكُمْ فَسَيَرَى إِخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Yani whoever from amongst you lives, yani for a long time after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will see a lot of differing among the people. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the people will begin to differ. So what is the solution for this? فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّتِي الْخُلَفَاء الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِينَ عَدُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاذِجِ وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَمُحْدَثَاتُ الْأُمُورِ فَإِنَّ كُلُّ بِذَعَةٍ ضَلَالًا. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when this occurs, when the people have find themselves in much differing, then he said, it is incumbent upon you to follow my sunnah, cling to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, bite on it with your molar teeth, and beware of newly invented matters. Yani stick to the sunnah and beware of the newly invented matters. For every newly invented matter is an innovation, and every innovation, yani in a different narration, and every innovation is misguidance. Naam. Alaykum salam.
Alright. When the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Tabi'is were coming in, they were the best companions of each other people in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
During the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
Yes.
No, the Tabi'un and the Atba' Tabi'in were not living in the time of the Prophet. The Sahaba only were living in the time of the Prophet. The Tabi'in and the Atba' Tabi'in people came after the time of the Prophet. Now.
So you say the Tabi'in and the Tabi'in came after the Prophet?
Yeah, they were not living in the time of the Prophet. The people who lived in the time of the Prophet who believed they are Sahaba.
But they were the best companions during the time of the Prophet.
No. Tabi'in, Atba' Tabi'in, they didn't exist in the time of the Prophet. Nobody was following Tabi'in in time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They didn't exist. They didn't even come yet. In the time of the Prophet, people were following the Prophet only. In the time after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after the Sahaba, then the next generation is Tabi'in. They followed the Sahaba. They followed the Sahaba. They followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba. And then the generation after them followed those who came before them. Nobody was following Tabi'in, Atba' Tabi'in in the time of the Prophet. They didn't even exist. They didn't live yet. In the time of the Prophet, people were following the Prophet. And the next generations, they were following Sahaba. And so on, like that.
It's kind of on the right track
too. I mean, today, people are following Sahaba and the Tabi'un and Atba' Tabi'in. Today, because they came before. But not in time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now. So the Prophet ﷺ is telling us in this hadith, yani, that people will differ in the future. In order to protect yourself from that differing, hold fast to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided khalifas, and avoid innovations. For every innovation is misguidance. After this, the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh says that the Prophet ﷺ clarified that abandoning his sunnah, or abandoning, understanding his sunnah by way of the understanding of the rightly guided khalifas, the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, this is a reason for the differing which tears apart the hearts and rips apart the ummah. Yani abandoning the sunnah and abandoning the understanding of the salaf for the sunnah, this is what separates the hearts and separates the ummah. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also clarified that which will repel the blameworthy differing is clinging to the sunnah. And clinging to the sunnah of the rightly guided khulafa. That is, the understanding of the rightly guided khulafa of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yani clinging to the sunnah and clinging to the understanding of the rightly guided khalifas for the sunnah. Abu Dawood, rahimahullah, narrates that Mu'adh ibn Jabal, radiallahu anhu, said to his companions one day, indeed, after you, there will be tribulations, yani fitna, in which wealth will be abundant. There will be a lot of wealth. And the Quran will be opened. However, the Quran will be opened. So much so that the believer and the hypocrite, the man and the woman, the child and the elder, the slave and the free man, will learn it, will acquire knowledge from it, will study the Quran. Everybody, the Quran will be open to everyone. And the believer and the hypocrite, young and old, slave and free, man and woman. Meaning, many people will begin to have knowledge and speak about the Quran and emerge by way of it before the people. Yani will be seen and will be recognized because they have learned Quran. So he, that is Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, continued, a person will say, what is with the people that they do not follow me while I recite the Quran? Yani, why are the people not following me since I'm reciting the Quran? He will look, and he's looking for people to follow him. And we find this very prevalent today, that people are learning some Quran or learning some hadith or learning Arabic in order to what? Come back and have people follow them. So he will say, what is with the people that they are not following me while I'm reciting the Quran? And he will look and he will see that those who read the Quran and do so beautifully have become many within the ummah. And those who teach have become many within the ummah. And those who narrate hadith and the athar from the salaf have become many within the ummah. So he won't be something special, because there will be a lot of people that know Quran and that are narrating hadith besides him. So he will search for that which will elevate him, and that which would give him significance and recognition amongst the rest of the people and make him famous, and that which will make the people follow him. So he, that is Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, said, a person will say, what is with the people that they do not follow me while I recite the Quran? They will not follow me unless I innovate for them something new other than the Quran. Everybody's reciting the Quran. I got to come up with something new. So beware. Yani Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, so beware of what is innovated. For that which is innovated is misguidance. So beware, my beloved brothers. So beware, my beloved brothers, of that which is innovated from statements, and that which is innovated from understandings which oppose the understanding of the predecessors. For there is no good in them. They are only a path from the paths of misguidance. Yesterday we went to a janazah for one of our brothers. May Allah have mercy upon him. And we saw a new innovation that I've never seen since I've been a Muslim. A imam got up in front of the people and told the people, I'm about to make dua before the janazah. Now, what is the janazah except dua? That's what the janazah is. I'm going to make dua before the janazah. And every one of you must say ameen when I start making this dua. And then he started. If you straighten him, you'll break him. He's an old man. Khalas, he's finished already, akhi. He's an old Egyptian. These people are corrupted to the bone. And then he told people other nonsense. But this is what we find today. Somebody has to what? Come up with something new that nobody else did before. So you will be like outstanding and distinguished. Know that there is no good in innovations. They are only paths to misguidance. So that which is connected to this reason, yani this reason for deviation, O brothers, is taking one aspect of the text and neglecting other aspects of the text, and giving one aspect of the text precedence over others. Yani the Shaykh is talking here about what? One of the causes of deviation is understanding the Quran and Sunnah in a way other than it was understood by the Salaf. And from that, yani under that particular matter, comes the fact that some people give one aspect of the text preference over other aspects. Yani they dwell or concentrate or focus on one thing and abandon the rest. From the perspective of deviation, that entails deviating by ways of desires, yani from under the title of the people who deviated due to following their desires, their shahawat, we find the youth given precedence to the aspects of texts emphasizing the promise, the wa'ad of Allah, and hope and pardon, having hope in Allah and hoping for Allah's pardon. Yani from what? From the perspective of the deviation that came about due to people following their desires, then yani they deviated. Why? Because they gave preference or precedence to emphasizing the text of the promise of Allah and hope and pardon. Yani they did whatever they felt like, whatever the desires led them to, yani claiming that Allah will pardon and Allah will forgive, and we have hope in Allah's mercy. So they deviated, and they yani engaged in all kinds of shahwat, lower desires, without any fear, because what? They emphasized that Allah will have yani mercy and Allah will pardon. And from the perspective of deviation, that entails deviating by ways of doubts, yani shubuhat, doubtful matters, confusing matters that people become yani confused about. We find the youth giving precedence to the text of threat, the wa'id of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani they emphasize the threat of punishment, not keeping the balance between both Allah's yani promise of reward and mercy and pardon and Allah's threat of punishment. All of this opposes the methodology of the pious predecessors radiallahu anhum ajma'in as it relates to the understanding of the text. Yani this emphasizing one aspect over another aspect, all of this yani opposes the manhaj of the Salaf in understanding the text of Quran and Sunnah, and is that which the innovators have invented from understandings which oppose the path of the Salaf in understanding the text of the Book and Sunnah. The remedy for this matter is spreading the understanding of the text according to the way of the Salaf, and inculcating that within the schools and masajid, and in the khutbahs and lectures, without becoming bored or tired, and without concern of what the people want from other than these topics. Yani, emphasizing and re-emphasizing the understanding of the text according to the way of the Salaf, and not becoming bored with this topic or tired from it and worried that the people want to hear something different. Rather, this is what the people are in need of. For the latter part of this ummah will not be rectified, neither its individuals nor whole communities, except by that which rectified its first part. And the eminent Imam, the Faqih, Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, said regarding the statement of Allah the Exalted, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرُ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Guide us to the straight path, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your favors, not the path of those whom your wrath is upon, nor those who go astray. From Surah Al-Fatiha. Shaykh Abdul Aziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he says concerning these ayat, they are the people who have knowledge. Yani who are the people? Sirat al-Ladin an'amta alayhim, those who Allah's favor is upon, they are the people who have knowledge of what Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The people who Allah's favor is upon, that we're asking Allah guide us upon the straight path, the path of those who your favors are upon, these are the people who have knowledge of what Allah and His Messenger have said. The people who have knowledge of what Allah and His Messenger have said are the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who follow them in goodness, the second generation and the third generation, especially the first three generations of this ummah. These are the people that are mentioned specifically in this ayah of the Quran, yani the people upon the straight path, those whom Allah's favor is upon, it is the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and Atba' Tabi'in, those who have knowledge of Allah and His Messenger's statements. So how, O servants of Allah, can you supplicate to Allah to guide you to the straight path? The path of who? The companions and the tabi'un and atba'a tabi'in. How can you ask Allah to guide you? Because these are the foremost of those who are upon the straight path. How can you ask Allah to guide you to the straight path and then call to a new manner of understanding the straight path? Yani you calling for and asking for some new understanding of what is Sirat al-Mustaqim, other than the understanding of the people who are the foremost of those who are upon the straight path. How can you ask Allah for guidance upon the straight path, and then you want to follow some understanding of somebody other than those who are the people of the straight path? Yani, a new understanding of the straight path, other than the way of those upon whom Allah has bestowed His favor. Other than the understanding of the straight path that was understood by the companions and the tabi'un and the atba' tabi'in. Tell me by Allah he said. I mean swearing by Allah, tell me by Allah, how do you expect the guidance of Allah? How do you expect istiqamah, uprightness? If you want to follow understanding other than the people who are upon the straight path. So it is upon us, O brothers in Allah, to include in our efforts of da'wah to the people, yani to make the essence and core of our da'wah to the people, that they return to the understanding of the pious predecessors, Salaf al-Salih, rahimahum Allah. And that lies al-istiqamah, yani uprightness, is in what? Returning to the understanding of Salaf al-Salih. And the servants, the people, will be saved from an evil outcome, yani from the evil of regret that they will be punished due to their deviation from the understanding of the Salaf, and then they will regret, but it will be too late at that time. And the next matter, inshallah, which I'll cover quickly. Next matter that the Shaykh mentions from the matters that are the cause of deviation is separating from the Jama'ah. Separating from the Jama'ah. Separating, abandoning the Qur'an, being far removed from the Sunnah, separating or abandoning the understanding of the Salaf, the understanding of the Qur'an and Sunnah. And then here the Shaykh mentions separating from the Jama'ah. From the reasons for deviation, O brothers, is separating from the established legislated jama'ah, not the groups that people made up, but the real jama'ah of the people upon the Qur'an and Sunnah. And attaching oneself to other than that jama'ah. Distance from the jama'ah is evil, and it is also punishment. And it is a reason, it is a cause of deviation and misguidance. Yani, distancing oneself from the jama'ah is an evil thing, and it brings about punishment, and it is a cause for a person to deviate and to fall into misguidance. On the authority of Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu, and it's a lengthy hadith, and I'll just try to read through it quickly. He said, كان الناس يسألون رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن الخير وكنت أسأله عن الشر مخافة أن يدركني فقلت يا رسول الله إنا كنا في الجاهلية والشر فجاءنا الله بهذا الخير فهل بعد هذا الخير شر. Yani Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu, he said, the people used to ask the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the khayr, about good. And I used to ask him about the evil for fear that it would overcome me. I asked him about evil because I want to know what it is so I can be protected from it. So I said, O Messenger of Allah, indeed we were in jahiliyyah, in ignorance and in evil. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this khayr, yani Islam. So is there going to be after this khayr some evil? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes. So I said to him, and after the evil that will come, will there be khair? And the Prophet ﷺ said, yes, but there will be in it dukhun. Yani there will be some khair, but it won't be pure khair like the first khair in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. But rather it will be, yani, tainted. It will be polluted. It will be something mixed with it. So I said, what is this, yani, thing that will taint it? And he said, qawmun, a people who will be, yani, taking something as a sunnah other than my sunnah, and taking guidance other than my guidance. So you will recognize some of it or accept it, and you will reject some of it. It will be clear that it is deviation. So I said, is there after this khair, that khair that has some tainted in it, is there any evil? He said, yes, there will be evil. Du'at ala abwab jahannam. There will be people who are callers, who are standing at the doors of Jahannam. So whoever responds to them, they will throw them into the hellfire. They will cause them to be in the hellfire. Du'at ala abwab Jahannam. Yani some of these people, they are definitely du'at, calling people to the hellfire. Now, whoever answers them, they will throw them into the hellfire. So I said, Ya Rasulullah, describe them for us. He said, yes, there are people who, يعني, من جلدتنا ويتكلمون بألسنتنا, يعني they will look like us physically and they will speak with our language. I said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and actually some of them, they will not look like the companions. They will not be from the Arab and they will not speak the Arabic language. They will be looking like us and they will be speaking English. And they are also callers, calling to the hellfire. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was saying to them, they're not going to be strangers to you. They're going to look like you and they're going to talk like you, but they're going to be upon deviation. I said, O Messenger of Allah, so what should I do if this occurs? And if I'm living in a time when this happens, he said, stick to the jama'ah, the jama'atul muslimin, the group of the Muslims and their imam. Stick to the jama'ah muslimin and the leader of the Muslims. I said, what if there's no jama'ah and there's no imam? What if I'm living in a time when there's no jama'ah, real jama'ah, and there's no imam of the Muslims? He said, then stay away from all of these sects, every one of them. False groups and false leaders. Even if it requires of you to bite upon the root of a tree until death overcomes you while you're in that condition. And even if it means you have to leave from amongst the people and live by yourself and live in hardship and difficulty, no matter what, even if you die in that condition, that's better than to be with these people and these groups of deviation. The Prophet ﷺ clarified to Hudhayfa that the path of al-istiqamah, uprightness, is clinging to the jama'ah of the Muslims and their imam. Then he ﷺ clarified to Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu that if there's no jama'ah nor any imam, then the path to safety is by withdrawing from all of these groups, sects. So the person withdraws himself, even if it is by biting onto the trunk of a tree until death comes on him while he is holding fast to the sunnah, separating from these people and holding to the sunnah. So from the reasons for misguidance, O brothers, is distance from the jama'ah of the Muslims and their imam. And shaitan lies in wait for the children of Adam, and he devours the lone individual who is distant from the legislative jama'ah, the correct real jama'ah of the people of sunnah. The Prophet ﷺ said, inna yadallah ma'al jama'ah, that indeed the hand of Allah is with the jama'ah. And the wolf devours the lone sheep. He who distances himself from the jama'ah of the Muslims is open, and he is subject to deviant ideologies and deviation. And we see this all the time, that the people who are amongst the people of deviation, innocent people, but because they are separate from the jama'ah of the people of sunnah, then they are subject to all kind of deviant ideologies and statements and practices, and they fall and they go completely astray. He is subject to this because the callers to falsehood will attack him. He who abandons the jama'ah of the Muslims, abandons uniting with them in their masajid, in the masjid of the people of sunnah, he abandons Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and he abandons the established Imam. He makes himself subject to harm because the callers to falsehood will attack him with their doubts. And the callers to falsehood will beautify desires for him until he deviates in this regard. Yani, there will be doubtful matters they will confuse him with. And there will be also, yani, beautification of following one's desires. They will make it seem okay. It's okay to have a party, to bring in James Brown on the Eid day, for men and women to be intermingling and mixing with each other. They made it okay. And those people are doing it right now, in this day and time, and they don't feel any shame. It has been made fair seeming to them, like it's okay. This is what we're seeing right now, in the real life. This is what's happening. People are engaging in all their filth and corruption, following their desires, and they have been told that it's okay. They're doing it at the masjid. They're at the masjid having a party, dancing to music. Somebody dancing with somebody else's wife. And it's okay. The callers to falsehood will beautify desires for him until he deviates in this regard also. So the remedy, what is the remedy for this? And this is what we close with. What is the remedy for this? The remedy for this, O servants of Allah, is that the Muslim adheres to the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by clinging to the jama'ah of the Muslims and their imam, the people of sunnah. You would be amazed, O servant of Allah, at seeing a believer who testifies that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the Messenger of Allah, and he protects and guards the pillars of Islam, yani the practices of Islam. He fulfills them, and he hastens to do good deeds in that which is apparent. Yani from it appears as though he's a person who's doing good deeds. When he hears the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then finds the advice of other than the Messenger of Allah, whether it be from an imam or a sheikh who has been propped up in front of the people, he abandons the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, Mustafa, who speaks, who does not speak of his own desire. He abandons the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, who does not speak of his own desire. What he speaks is but revelation that is revealed to him. He abandons the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, the one who is a mercy and a guide, the one who is kind and merciful to the believers. He leaves his advice, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in exchange for the advice of a human being who himself will be weighed according to that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon. So we see, for example, that some guy is put up on the internet and he has thousands of followers and he's talking nonsense. And he's telling the people, you don't have to follow the scholars. You don't have to understand Islam from the scholars. Just read the Quran yourself. Yet, the reason why he's standing in front of them is so that he could explain the Quran to them. And they're listening to him, telling them, you don't need the scholars to explain this Quran, but listen to me explaining the Quran to you. People have to be retarded to accept that. But you see thousands of people listening to this nonsense. The Prophet ﷺ's advice is abandoned. The Prophet ﷺ said, listen to the scholars. If you don't know something, go to the scholars. He says, don't go to the scholars, listen to me. And some of these people are people that appear to be practicing Islam, making salat and giving zakat and fasting in Ramadan, and yet they abandon the advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rather, they abandon the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلُ ذِكْرٍ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And he asks the people of the dhikr, yani the ulama, if you don't know. He says, don't worry about the scholars, listen to me. They abandoned what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and instead they listened to nonsense from ignorant people who are du'at, yani callers, upon at the doors of the hellfire. So the remedy, O brothers, is that the people must be diligent in sticking to the advice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The believers must be diligent in strengthening the connection of the youth to the jama'ah, and in combating that which will distance them from the legislative and established jama'ah of the people of sunnah. That, O brothers, is the path to uprightness, al-istiqamah, and the path to safety from deviation and regret. Naam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك. And we have just a couple of minutes if there's any question or any comment or correction, inshallah. Now, well, it was a saying of Mu'adh, but and it's not attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This statement of Mu'adh ibn Jabal is reported by Abu Dawood. It's reported by Abu Dawood. In the book of Sunnah, and Kitab al-Sunnah, chapter Clinging to the Sunnah. Naam. Naam. Naam.
It's
applicable to all of us, Naam. For sure, sticking to the Jama'ah. All people are abandoning the Jama'ah, the people of Sunnah, and being led astray. Not just young people. Most of the people in those masjids are old people, but there are a lot of young people though out there that we're not familiar with, especially on the college campuses and other places, who are being misled by these people calling to deviation.
You know, it would appear I'm not accustomed to what we're doing, because most widespread is the people who they talk about, the people who
No, they are most widespread. They are the larger number of people. Most of the people upon deviation, the people upon sunnah, are always the smaller group. The people who go into the paradise are the smaller group. Most of the people are going to be in the hellfire.
Just those few words that you said really at the end, that would clarify this a lot of people. Would make them give them cause to reflect.
No.
Whom am I really following? Then you will probably scrutinize the person who's standing at the member more closely. You should, right?
No.
You should.
Absolutely. That's why we shouldn't be listening to anybody. We shouldn't be going to any masjid for Jumu'ah or for a lecture or for a class or anything. We should be careful who we're listening to. There's a lot of these people, indeed, they're calling to misguidance, to deviation, to corruption, to filth. No, a person has to be careful. Who are you listening to? The Prophet ﷺ made it clear that there will be people out there calling people to misguidance. So we should be wondering, well, who is he talking about? Where are those people? Maybe we're listening to them. Maybe we're following them. That's what people should be thinking. But of course, they're not even concerned. They're not even concerned. They're just like cattle, blindly following.
You know, we may be inclined to look at our brother, we see on the street, see that he's a promise guy, and blame him. Sometimes, can he be to blame?
I mean, there could be a person may have some excuse. It's possible. But people are responsible for themselves. And we can't just say that the person has been misled and he's not responsible for himself examining what he is upon or who is he following. Certainly the people who mislead, then they are taking a great responsibility. They are carrying that. But likewise, the people who listen to them and follow them, they are also responsible for themselves.